This is the Technically Correct Podcast.
I'm Josh Cohen.
I'm Terry McGregor.
I'm Chris Allport.
Today, we are talking with one of our co-hosts, Josh Cohen, the president of Cohen Creative and the publisher of both Carol Magazine and Hanover Magazine.
I have so many questions. Do you guys get any journals like Popular Science or Popular Mechanics or anything like that?
No. I get like Wired, and just like it used to be like good. Now it's just like
it's Popular Science for geeks.
Yeah, but it's just it's got a really left wing slant.
It's always had that.
Yeah, like but now I guess now
it's like Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, so now or these Fortune magazines where it's like advice from people that you shouldn't be really listening to, right? Because people are in much different circumstances. Anyway, so yeah, no, I haven't got it. So anyway, sorry, your point.
Well, it's a very interesting segue into publishing.
Yeah.
Because do you enjoy reading magazines, physical paper magazines, or on your iPad or computer?
Yeah, that's a good question. Definitely. I think it depends.
Yeah.
Well, we have found, publishing Carol Magazine, that more people enjoy actually reading the printed piece.
Yeah.
Than they do looking at it on their computer or their tablet.
So I haven't seen a Carol magazine in a while. Shame on me. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I certainly have seen it.
But I see what you did there. Yeah. Good cop.
I like this guy.
Yeah. So Chris, you can leave now. Thank you. How heavy are you guys on advertising in the magazine?
Usually a magazine that like we send out the magazine to on a good issue to everyone in the county. So in order to reach the appropriate advertising budget, it's a 50-50 split between advertising and editorial.
Okay.
But magazines like The Week or Time Magazine or something like that, that's not a 50-50 split because they put their focus on subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
people are getting more used to the whole subscription model, although that's the way all magazines, the newspapers used to be.
Right.
But they started to go away from that. But their subscriptions is so popular in electronic media and the software. Well, in web development, 90% of the websites now are WordPress based.
Yep.
Well, so
is it 90%? I know it's
darn near. Well, I know in this,
it's
in our local world here, it is.
Yeah.
And, to properly run some of the plugins, you have to purchase premium plugins.
Yeah.
And those premium plugins have to be updated every year.
And I find that market is just grossly undervalued and underserved.
Well, it's misunderstood.
It's totally misunderstood. Like, people think I can get a website on Wix for $10 a year.
Yeah, and you can go on to GoDaddy and you can buy a web hosting space for $5 a month.
Yep.
But it's entirely up to you to manage it. And if you're not a super WordPress techie,
right,
your site will go down.
It will definitely. It's just time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's time to your hack. There's a whole massive infrastructure that is an automated infrastructure to go down and infiltrate websites, right? Infiltrate WordPress and then put malware on there to generate income for some other company, whether they're advertising something and putting it onto your site,
absolutely,
sneaking it in there. It's very, very common.
We host close to 150, 200 websites.
Yeah.
Every day there's a site getting hacked.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Every single day. And we have to go in, we have to find the fault and remove the malware. And
yeah.
Even if you have the best servers and the strongest servers in the world, that usually gets in through a plugin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you want something cheap and easy, you get a plug-in.
You get a free plug-in.
Oh, it's amazing. Like,
yep.
Like we have to we scrutinize all of our plugins. You look at the companies behind them. We look at how many, what's their, do they have a business model? Because you want a business model behind a plugin before you put it in, because you know that there's people that make money on it. You don't want to just throw free stuff in there. And then you have to be very careful about it. Yeah, it's definitely
There's some crazy number of 40,000 plugins out there or something like that. And they all do very specific tasks, which you may need.
Right.
And so we try to focus on the premium plugins because we get support on
them. Yeah, that's right.
Because they do break.
They do.
And when WordPress upgrades to the next version, which happens 3 to 4 times a year, the plugins break.
This is a rat race.
Right. So you have to chase them all the time. And if you don't pay for the premium plugins, you have nobody to go to fix it. I think times are changing. I think companies are starting to discover that they need managed hosting.
Yeah.
The whole world of do-it-yourself hosting is kind of dissolving because HTML websites are really becoming a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny you say that. What I've moved to is, I run another. We do a charity, right? We support a local sports organization. We actually moved away from WordPress and into a single page HTML JavaScript app, and just a single page, And,
well, if they don't need much, and if they don't need to manage it themselves,
right,
then you can do an HTML,
right.
But the majority of customers
they
don't
want to
pay
it.
You,
yeah.
to just change the time on their site or change an event.
There's got to be a hybrid that's coming out there that's going to help.
I think it's developing.
Yeah. It's definitely on its way.
WordPress has developed tremendously in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
5 years ago, I never, ever would have used WordPress to develop websites.
Right.
It was just so clumsy and ugly and horrific, and no one would like it. And now that's all we develop in is WordPress.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hacked so easy.
Yeah,
because it's open source and it's standard.
Well, let's get back to open source. Open source and software security. That's important because you've got that many more people that can look at the software. So it's not that you've got people that are just finding exploits in existing software. You've got thousands and hundreds of millions of eyes on software, so people can collectively use intelligence to find exploits. And you can improve software quality that way. So open source doesn't necessarily mean less secure software.
Hmm.
Sold.
More bugs found and fixed.
It's funny you should say that because, we used to use Microsoft servers to host our sites.
Hacked all the time, yeah.
Well, yeah, hacked all the time. And then they would upgrade and it would bring down all the sites. So, we went to open source servers, Ubuntu, Linux servers, CentOS. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, and they're rock solid. So what?
Yeah.
I think most of the web servers out there now are open source servers.
Yeah, Nginx is a big one. That's really.
Is that a Linux based system? Is it Linux or Linux?
Linux. I think they say Linux, but I call it Linux.
If you're in England.
Well, Linus Torvalds rolled out this open source kernel. But I've never really heard an uptake on Linux.
No, nobody. Yeah.
So how do you find people that you need the technical expertise to do some of that stuff? I mean, these are IT-like people, right?
You mean like staff?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, they're actually brought up through the company.
Okay.
We're a little odd in that respect. Like, we hire designers.
Mm-hmm.
Now designers aren't so much just print anymore.
Right.
They're electronic media designers and print.
Mm-hmm.
And then you discover somebody who has the skill to think more analytically, and they kind of start moving towards the electronic side.
Right.
And then they start learning from the staff on the job training at the office. Because there really aren't any courses out there that dive you into how to develop WordPress sites and coding and the proper way. You still need to be a graphic designer to start to do a pretty site. You have to have that eye for design.
How do you balance that eye for design and capture what they want, and then also where does the content come from? Because I find generating the content is incredibly hard.
It is, and a lot of people, when they start a website, they say, I'll do the content and I'll give it to you. and then the site sits for a year before it even gets done.
Yeah.
So it just so happens because we're an odd animal in that respect. Because we publish Carol Magazine, I've got 8 to 10 copywriters that write for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So the right approach to doing a website is to the designer creates the navigation. Okay, the navigation acts like the outline for the website.
It's a UX, yeah.
Yep. So that outline is then handed to the writer, and the writer then interviews the customer.
Okay.
And it's much easier. Like, if you were to write your own website,
it's awful.
It's painful because you're very specific. You know what you want to say, but you can't get the words out.
Yep.
So a writer, that's what they're great at, mm-hmm. is getting the words out. So they interview you. They interview you, they type it up, they send you the proof,
sure.
and you approve it. So that way, you know, things keep moving on that right. timeline.
So in terms of your company and how you guys stay abreast, one of the things that I've recently read about, they did a study with a couch company, and they took their website and they did an A/B split test. And one set of users, they were presented with clouds, and the other set of users were presented with dollar signs. They were basically saying, you know, this is some of the appeal that we offer. One, it's luxury and comfort, but they were giving you pictures of clouds and luxurious things. And the other one that was underpinned with this message of dollar signs, it's a cost-effective alternative. They actually found that those people were buying much cheaper, very, very right. functional couches, where the others with the clouds, it was driving them toward more of a
premium model,
a premium purchase. So, yeah. So when you're doing your design, how much attention do you pay to that kind of messaging?
Okay, well, so this is an interesting question that you have. So people have to understand the difference between advertising, marketing, and sales.
Okay? Okay.
And there's a common misconception that sales is marketing and advertising is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?